What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Monday, the beginning of another week. Hope you had an awesome weekend. And like every Monday, we have a theme here. It's called Metric Mondays. We give you a bite-sized piece of information, a metric you can use to improve your practice and your life. And my question today is, would you like a productive and predictable schedule? Of course, everybody would. And there's a number that will greatly help you. It's called patient acceptance percentage. And I have my amazing co-star on today. Her name is Miranda Beeson, where we give you the ins and outs of what this number is and what it does. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this. And we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Guess what today is? Today is Monday. I hope your weekend was a great one. And every Monday we do something that's called Metric Mondays, a little bite-sized piece of information that you can use on your way to work to improve your practice and your life. And I have my amazing co-host. Her name is Miranda Beeson. She's brilliant. You'll find out in a second if you haven't heard her talk before, and she's going to lead us through it. So Miranda, thanks for being back. I always appreciate you.
Thank you, Kirk. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, what you guys don't know is I had a big technical glitch before this, and now I got all the equipment working. I'm so happy. So Miranda, where are we going today? Take us on this wonderful journey.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So these are two of my favorite KPIs. So this week and next week, we'll follow up with another one that relates to this. But today, we're going to talk about patient acceptance percentage. So we've been on this production journey that started all the way back at gross production to net production. And we talked about, well, what if I don't even have production in my schedule and I'm starting to see holes and I'm freaking out. So we went through diagnostic percentage, making sure we're diagnosing enough. And then we talked about making sure that that dollar amount that we're diagnosing is going to sustain our goals. And so now we're going to go to the other side of that. And we're going to start looking at when we're diagnosing and presenting treatment, what does our acceptance look like? So when we talk about patient acceptance percentage, this is measuring the number of patients or the percentage of patients that say yes to recommended treatment. And specifically, those who are presented with treatment and schedule in the same day. So especially if you're using Dental Intel as an analytics platform, this is going to be based on what is gone presented that day and then goes into the schedule the same day. That's how it's kind of proven as accepted. Now, I should kind of throw a little caveat in that if you don't have Dental Intel or an analytics platform, you can measure this manually. You can just take a peek at the number of treatment plans you present and just throw some little hash marks on a piece of paper that say, yes, they scheduled or no, they didn't. But generally, we're looking at out of the number of patients that were presented with new treatment today or within a given week, whatever that time frame is, what percentage of those said yes and scheduled to move forward. And so the great thing about this metric is it's going to help to reflect on your ability as a practice, as a team, to transfer trust. How much do your patients trust in the recommendations that you're giving them? How well do you communicate the value of those recommendations? And how can we align with the patient's goals, their readiness, their willingness to move forward? So we'll talk a little bit through this podcast about, you know, when things are looking good with this number, what does it mean? When things aren't looking good, what does it mean? But overall, we just want to know, like, if we're making these recommendations, it's pointless if nobody's scheduling, right?
Right. And this is probably one of the metrics that's most misunderstood or underutilized. And tell me if you agree with this. I see two inherent challenges. And if you're listening to this, you might relate. Number one, you don't present treatment because you've known this patient forever and you've tried and you know what? I'm just not going to go there today. I don't feel like talking about it. And I feel like we've talked about it 10 times. That's number one. Number two relates to what you said before. You do need some type of a system to do this. It just can't be an anecdotal measure. And probably I'll add a third one is you need some accountability, meaning you need someone to hold you accountable to doing this. But I don't know.
Let's just jump into like how it happens in the practice. And you kind of start off at a good point because there's a clinical and an administrative component to patient acceptance, because it all starts with the clinicians building value during that treatment presentation conversation. So when we are making those new diagnoses, how are we conveying that information to our patients? And are we talking outcomes and building value versus, you know, this is what I want, or working towards my agenda for what I think you need, and just kind of putting it in the computer behind the patient's head, and then they get up front and they don't even know what's going on. So the really cool thing about this metric is it directly influences production, because when patients say yes, they end up scheduled in our schedule, right? And that helps us to make sure that we're hitting those goals and we're having that schedule stability. If you are diagnosing the appropriate amount, so we talked previously on the Metric Monday around diagnostic percentage that we want to be diagnosing new dentistry on approximately 40% of the exams that we do, but we have low acceptance, right? So say we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing and presenting treatment, but people aren't saying yes. It's just a missed opportunity, and it's going to lead to unpredictable schedules. It's going to lead to either holes in the schedule or just crazy chaos, because we're filling the schedule with anything that we possibly can, not these kind of pre-planned known treatment plans. Instead, we're counting on an emergency showing up and doing some same day, or who knows what's going to happen if that, you know, if we open up that crown that day. So it's going to help us if we can keep this high. That low percentage of people saying yes generally indicates that we have gaps in the way that we communicate the value of treatment. And that can happen in the back and that can happen in the front. So the other thing to remember is that like patients who don't say yes, who delay care, they decline often, maybe, I need to think about it. They're going to do one of two things. They're going to drift away from the practice and perhaps end up, you know, not coming back. And now we've lost an active patient, or they're going to come back as an emergency. Because at some point that recommendation we made is going to have a significant health consequence. And so how do we help them to understand the value of moving forward, even if it's in small steps, so that we can help not only keep them tethered to the practice, loyal to the practice, mixed into our continuity of care, but also we're helping them get healthier. Because when they don't say yes, they're not going to get healthier. They're going to be living every day with whatever problem it is that we just diagnosed.
Yeah. And like every metric, would you agree with this? Like, you don't need it to be perfect. I think, first of all, is just understand it, start tracking it, and see how we can make improvements to it. So tell us, give us an idea. When it's going well, what does it look like?
Yeah, when it's going well, you're probably hitting the benchmark, which is around 75 to 80% patient acceptance rate. You know, when you're doing a really good job, when you have strong presentation skills, when you have clear payment solutions, financial options for your patients, and they're able to say yes, you're going to see your patient acceptance percentage somewhere in that 75 to 85% acceptance rate range. That's if I'm working with a client and they're at 75% or above, I know they're doing a good job in building value and in the systems that they have in place for scheduling patients and getting that acceptance. When you can personalize those conversations, that takes it to the next level. Like, we're meeting patient goals, that takes it to the next level. When we can loop the whole team in to be a part of this system, this treatment presentation and patient acceptance system in the practice, then patients are going to be more likely to say yes. So your schedule is going to reflect the meaningful care. It's going to be predictable care. You're going to have less of that chaos and just, again, kind of cramming stuff in to fill holes in the schedule. So when it's going well, you're going to see 75, 85%. Now, when it's not going well, this is when treatment is emailed. You know, we'll send you an estimate. Mm-hmm. You know, let's wait till we get that pre-auth back, and then we'll reach out to you and we'll call you and try to set something up. Or, you know, you print something and send it home with the patient. They want to think about it. You just let them hit you with that objection and walk out the door. You know, you don't handle that. You don't counter that. Maybe you're not equipped to. offices that allow for the patient to kind of drive that conversation, and we don't build value on the front end, in the front office, when we're delivering that actual treatment plan with the dollar amounts associated with it, we're not going to have the schedule that we need to make sure that we're hitting our goals. So when you're under 75%, I would say there's a gap, and it's either going to be clinically and where we're, when we're presenting and co-diagnosing with our patients and the value that we're creating. We're probably talking more about the treatment than the outcome on the other end of that. And then the other side of that is it could be our administrative team and the way in which we're delivering treatment plans. And, or again, like I said, I just talked with a client earlier today, and they do a lot of pre-authorizations, and they bring it up before the patient does majority of the time. And I'm like, you are creating this problem for yourself, because the patient might not even be concerned about the investment. You are assuming that they are. And now they're walking out the door without a scheduled visit because we're waiting for this documentation. So it all points back to our systems, whether it be communication or, again, financial options. But it takes the clinical team and the admin team to really make this work.
Yeah. And now that we've been working together for quite a long time now, I have my Miranda-isms, and we could create a whole t-shirt, maybe a little booklet, and that's going to grow into a big booklet. But one of the things that you taught us that I love, and you pointed to it already, is without value, there's only price. Can you just speak to what that means? Because that like sums it up for me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we think about the fact that most people in America have, if you look it up, $600 to $1,000 for emergency expenses. Like, the average American has $600 to $1,000 for emergency expenses. And so there are a lot of people out there who they're literally price shopping. You know, they're thinking like, it's this or my hot water heater that needs to be replaced. That's the reality of our customers on a regular basis. And if all we're talking about is that dollar amount, then yeah, they're going to have to measure that against these other things in their life that may have a higher value. But if we can help them to see the outcome on the other side, help them to understand, you know, what is your goal? Well, I want to make sure I keep my teeth. And if we explain and help them to understand that the outcome of this treatment we're recommending is going to fulfill that goal of keeping your teeth, and actually not doing it is going to put you at risk to losing your teeth, how would you feel about that? And letting them kind of think through the outcome. Yeah, we have to put the value there before the price tag. And so anytime that a treatment plan is brought up front, if I'm observing in an office and I'm checking out, you know, what our systems are, and we get a handoff and the explanation is there, what we're doing next, why we're doing it. And then the administrative team member says, okay, great. Well, I've printed out your treatment plan and your fee is going to be $1,700. And then the insurance is going to reimburse $400. And so we didn't even talk about, like, how was your visit today? Did you have any additional questions about the benefit of the treatment that was recommended to you? You know, is Dr. Awesome the person that you feel is the right fit for helping you get to the other side of your care? Like, some of these questions that help them to stay locked into the value of being here with us and doing this work instead of just the price tag.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. So I'm the dentist that's listening today. I'm driving in and I'm going to do the homework you're going to ask me. And let's say, Miranda, it's not going well. Like, ooh, this is not a good number. What can I do now to impact this metric?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I'm going to jump into like track it if you're not tracking it, because there's a lot of practices that actually don't look at this number. And it is a really important predictor to your future production and profitability. So number one, just first and foremost, if you're not tracking it, start tracking it right away. And like I mentioned, if you do use an analytics platform like Dental Intel, or perhaps you have, you know, like Curve that has some analytics built in, that's great. But if you don't, that's not an excuse to not know the number. You can manually track this as well, as simple as having a spreadsheet with your administrative team member, your treatment coordinator, who can just hash mark when someone says yes, and we can look at that data at the end of a given time period. So first, just track it. And if you're tracking it and then you find out, hey, we are off track, you have to look at the two components that play a role in this diagnostic measure, which is the clinical piece and the administrative piece. So clinically, you want to ask yourself, you know, are the conversations that we are having in the back when we see these things, when we make the diagnosis, are the conversations grounded in patient outcomes? Right? Are we using photography? Are we walking them through the radiographs? Are we showing them other cases. Perhaps you have a folder on your desktop of old nasty amalgam, a broken tooth, and then the beautiful porcelain crown that came after, and you can help them to see because they don't know what we know as trained professionals. So in the clinical realm, you just want to make sure that those conversations you're having around that diagnosis are grounded in patient outcome. The value is at the front of mind, and it's not just the need or the treatment itself. So super simple. If you feel like you ask yourself that question and maybe you're not doing that, select the top five things that you do, right? Like the top five treatments that you perform on a regular basis, especially if they're ones that you feel like people aren't saying yes to, and create some so that statements. And I've talked about this a lot of times before. I'll just try to be quick because I know these are bite-sized podcasts, but this came up for me when my daughter used to want to borrow my phone and it would annoy me like crazy. And finally she's like, "Mom, I want to check my grade. I want to see if my teacher input my grade." And I'm like, if you had led with, "So that I can check my grades, can I borrow your phone?" I would have been much more likely to let you borrow my phone versus, "Can I borrow your phone?" And I'm immediately like annoyed, like, no. And so the same thing happens in our practice. And if you can develop these so that statements, say, for example, around a crown, and we're not just saying, you know, "Mr. Jones, you're going to need a crown on that tooth." Even if you end it with, "So that we can protect your tooth from breaking," they heard crown, they heard money, time, right? And they're already shut down. So we got to lead with that. So that we can protect that tooth from breaking and keep you from having emergencies, which you shared was really important with us. We would do a full coverage restoration and change that filling out to a crown before your tooth breaks. And so leaning into that, so that method, pick the top, I say top five, maybe it's just three things that you do most often that people object to. Maybe it's once it hits that 1500 mark or whatever it might be, and sit with your team and develop some so that statements that really lean into the value first.
Yeah.
So that would be, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, this is another Mirandaism. Like, forget about the podcast. This is a life skill that you're going to get from Miranda. I actually, it's so fun because she brought, this is just another phrase that she brought, and it means so much. I now hear this phrase on meetings at ACT Dental. I hear him at home. I hear him everywhere. So I'll hear Barrett, our CEO, say, "So that," and I'm like, oh, here it comes, the benefit of what we're doing. It's so powerful to use that phrase, so that. Just try it. Try it today. I'm promising.
Yeah. And you lead with the outcome and you finish with the treatment.
Yeah.
And we pretty historically do it the opposite way. So it's just a matter of like changing the way we communicate.
Totally.
So that's clinical.
Okay. One more thing. I love how you said this. Like the word need is one of my least favorite words ever. So it's really hard. I'm not here to tell you like get rid of it completely because that's a lifelong practice, but try your best to eliminate the word need because everybody hates buying things they need. I hate every penny I spend on a need, but I'll love spending every penny on something I want. So
yeah. Yeah. I know you want to keep that tooth. So my recommendation, right?
Right.
And then, okay. So then one more action item, because there's two pieces, the clinical and the administrative. So on the administrative side, you want to make sure that the people presenting treatment in your office are equipped to handle objections. Without value, there is only price. We talked about that already. And so if we're leaning into price and we're getting a lot of objections, we're getting those like, "I'm going to need to go home and think about it. I'm going to need to check with my husband. I need to check my calendar." There's something there that is lacking in value more than likely. And if we just say like, "Okay, well, give us a call if you change your mind. Here's the treatment plan," and we print it and send it home with them, that's a missed opportunity. Instead, if you can lean into the concept of your team getting really comfortable with managing probably just time and money, those are the biggest objections people share with us. They're going to be more confident in being able to handle those conversations. And a real simple one, and I did not come up with this one, this has gone around for a long time, is feel, felt, found. And getting them to make some feel, felt, found statements to manage those objections. So if somebody says, you know, "This is more than I was expecting. I'm going to need a little time to think about it. You know, Mrs. Jones, I totally understand how you feel." So many of our patients have felt the same way. And what we have found is, usually there's still a question about the clinical outcome or perhaps options that we may have to help you find this more affordable. Would you like to talk about any of those before you go home to consider this today? And a lot of times that just opens the door for them to maybe ask a question that they were nervous or ashamed to ask and just saying like, "Oh yeah, like can I pay you in payments instead?" And now that leads us into the little asterisk here, which is, have some financial options on hand, because it's going to be easier for people to say yes if they have a way to break it up into smaller payments over time. We just talked about $600 to $1,000. That's about anybody has for an emergency need. And so if we can provide an option for them to make it more attainable month over month, they're going to be able to say yes more often.
Yeah, so well said. So good stuff, Miranda. Thank you so much. Again, patient acceptance percentage. Give it a try. Little by little, see how it impacts your practice. Now, our goal with this podcast is to bring you regular, you know, information like this, especially on Mondays, so that you can go back and do this and create a better practice and a better life. And if you're struggling with any of this, or if you just want to energize yourself, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do this on your own. You can actually join us in the Best Practices Association. We actually have a free app now. Do this. Do yourself a favor. Go back to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and search Best Practices Association. You can join us on the app for free, and then you can upgrade to Teams, Premium, and all the other benefits that we have back there. We have hours and hours and hours of education around this stuff. If your team meetings are not great, don't do that anymore. You can make them great with the information that's back there. And if you want to join us for the To the Top Study Club, you can do that. That's our own private little study club. You can come for free the first time. We have something called the Golden Ticket. Make sure you join us. And if you tried everything and you're just tired and you need somebody to help you, we have amazing pro coaches, people that will come out, help you do this so you don't struggle, and we make it happen with your help and your team's help. So make sure you check out all of those resources. Keep sending us suggestions for things you guys want to see, and we'll keep lining them up. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it, so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.